CBS Eye on the World. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman is here. Big space and then lots of private space. We begin with Long March 6A. This is the People's Republic of China, but a puzzle to me. I don't recognize it. Bob, a very good evening to you. What is 6A? I have no memory of it. Good evening.
Good evening, John. Yeah, this is a new rocket that the Chinese have built. It's been launching for about 2, maybe 3 years. It's part of an effort on China's part to replace all its earlier first-generation rockets that it's been using for decades that use very, very toxic hypergolic fuels. And this rocket is a liquid-fueled rocket that is more like the Falcon 9 or New Glenn Starship Super Heavy. It uses things like methane or hydrogen or kerosene as a fuel. And that's their main reason. So the Long March 5 has launched now, seven times. And of those seven times, this last week it did a launch, put up 18 satellites on the first 18 satellites of a 14,000 satellite constellation that would be competing with Starlink. In the launch, though, after launch, the upper stage of the rocket apparently broke up in orbit into 50-plus pieces of space junk. This has been detected from ground and orbital observation. What's interesting about that is of the seven launches, this is the second time this has happened. Back in November 22, the upper stage also broke up. It apparently exploded. They're not sure. So that's a very bad track record for the upper stage. Apparently, in both cases, the launch was successful. The satellites were deployed, but the upper stage broke up. So China very clearly not only doesn't care about dropping stages on its citizens' heads and other people's heads as well, but it also apparently doesn't care much about creating space junk. Now, of course, we actually don't know the cause of these two breakups. It could be completely an engineering problem they've got to solve. It could be, for all we know, China just wants it to settle the first stage destroyed and all. But we really just don't know what the deal is here. And that comes back to the non-transparency of China.
Yes, we can presume the FAA does not have purchase in China and will be holding them back from launching more satellites until they clear up that second stage failure. We go to SpaceX, which is part of a Grand Central Station problem that's occurring in manned space. Starliner is involved in this, but I can't possibly explain how. You can, Bob. What is Polaris Dawn to Starliner?
All right, so Polaris Dawn is the private orbital mission, it won't dock to ISS, a manned mission that is being paid for by the billionaire Jared Isaacman. Isaacman has already flown once in space on a Dragon capsule. It was an orbital mission, so they didn't dock to ISS. They stayed up in space with him and three others for 3 or 4 days. He used that mission mostly to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And he'll probably do the same thing on the next mission. He has now set up what he calls the Polaris space program, his own space program. He's got a contract with SpaceX for 3 more launches. The first is called Polaris Dawn. And it was originally scheduled to launch at the end of July. But they delayed that launch. And it appears the reason they delayed that launch is because of the problems with Starliner. There were questions about putting that launch up on the launch pad and configuring the scheduling of everything. SpaceX has got 2 launch pads to use, but it's got to launch a crew to ISS at about this time. And so there was a lot of complexity. So they delayed the mission until they had a better understanding of when Starliner would or would not return. And so because of that, they've now rescheduled the Polaris Dawn mission with Isaacman as the commander for August 26th launch. On that flight, they're going to put the capsule Resilience, the highest that any astronaut has been since the Apollo missions, 870 miles above Earth. And then they're going to drop it down a little bit, still pretty high, and Jared Isaacman and at least one of his other astronauts are going to do spacewalks, the first private spacewalks. In order to do that, they open the hatch, and that all the air in the capsule escapes, which means all the astronauts, all four of the passengers, will be in spacesuits. But two are going to do spacewalks, the first entirely private spacewalks. Starliner caused about a month delay in this mission because they didn't know when they could launch so they wouldn't conflict with the ISS mission.
And, Bob, what is the last time we talked about Starliner, and there have been headlines, misleading, but they're headlines, about delaying the return of the two astronauts on ISS until 2025. Has that clarified itself?
Nothing has changed since I reported this with you earlier this week. They have not made a decision about when Starliner will come back or if it'll come back with two astronauts. They've given themselves an extra month to analyze the situation, and then they'll either decide to bring them back on Starliner sometime in the next month, or they will decide to launch a Dragon capsule, only two people on board instead of four, and then the Starliner crew will join that Dragon crew for a six-month mission. So their 1 to 2 week mission will turn out to be an 8 to 9 month mission, and it'll come back in February. But none of that's been decided.
Firefly, what is that, Bob?
This is a rocket startup company. It's already launched a bunch of times. What's interesting is it has now been awarded a new 20-launch contract from the aerospace company L3Harris. And this is an add-on to a previous 3-launch contract signed last year. And the contract calls for 2 to 4 launches per year beginning in 2027. They'll all take place in Vandenberg in California, and they'll mostly be for military or surveillance payloads, it appears. But what it appears is that Firefly's successes is beginning to grab business from both SpaceX and Rocket Lab. And that's a very healthy development because it provides us now not only options, but competition, and that, of course, makes things better for everybody.
You've got an illustration of Firefly, Rocket Lab, on your site. Are we going to Rocket Lab, or is that for later in the week?
That's later in the week, John.
All right, because all these illustrations can be confusing. What I take from them is that there's a lot of experimenting going on out there on the booster companies. Is that true, or are they copying
each other? Yes, that's exactly true, and that's because we've got real competition now. It's not a program being run by a single government agency. It's a government agency and also a lot of customers having needs, and people competing to provide those needs as effectively as possible, and so innovation occurs.
So they're coming up with novel ideas, and then they shop them. To the commercial audience.
That's right.
Is there a clearinghouse for this? That these are very clever people, are they?
John, asking for a clearinghouse grinds my teeth because you're asking them for a program controlled by somebody. I know it's just a clearinghouse. No, there's no clearinghouse. You got to be knowledgeable. If you got a satellite and you want to launch, you got to pay attention to the business and do some research to find the company that's got what you want and talk to a lot of companies. You know, that's how business works in the real world. You don't depend on somebody to tell you which is best. There are obviously companies that focus on helping satellite companies find launch companies. There are companies competing to do that, not just one. But we don't want one. We want many.
So they're not. The answer is there's not a clearinghouse. There are several.
You could say that, but then again, there's a lot of companies that don't use satellite companies that don't use any of those clearinghouses. They figure out the deal themselves, save some money, and sign a contract.
Well, I incorrectly presumed that it was all about cost, but that isn't enough anymore. Cost.
It's all about cost. It is all about cost, but the innovation is to reduce the cost. That's the bottom line. So you can provide your customers a rocket to get into orbit cheaply. More cheaply. Small rockets can get small satellites to their exact orbit they want, or they go as secondary payloads so they don't go quite. So there's different things offered. There's no question of that, but it's always coming down to cost.
All right, we turn to another private space organization, Rocket Factory.
Rocket Factory Augsburg. This is a German rocket startup company. It has now completed the second static fire test of the first stage of its RFA-1 rocket. These two static fire tests took place at Saxeford on the Shetland Islands, that spaceport in the UK. That's where they hope to launch from. The test was successful, though they still have not tested this rocket with all 9 engines at the base. They did a 15-second test with 5 engines. The previous one used 4. They're going to have to do a full static fire test with 9 engines. They've already completed the test firing program for the upper stage, and it's already on its way to Saxa-4 to be stacked on top of the first stage. So they're getting very close to launch, and they say they want to launch by the end of the year. We'll see if that happens, because the UK Civil Aviation Authority has not yet issued them a launch license. And if their track record, based on what they did with Virgin Orbit, is to be used as a guide, it'll take them another 8 to 10 months to do that. And so this company might be sitting there waiting for a long time. Maybe not. Let's hope so.
All right. You trigger another thought of mine about the spaceports. There are a lot of spaceports proposed. Some are actual, some are imminent, some are being held up by, as you say, regulation around the world. Is there an index for this? I mean, I'm just searching for some organizational skills.
Nope. I mean, there are websites people put together to keep track of some of these things, but I have not yet seen a website that regularly tracks spaceports worldwide. I've seen some reports that give maps, and I posted those on Behind the Black. I would say the best place to go to get an index of what is going on in both these areas, John, would be Behind the Black, my website.
So would I. I'm just thinking about how this business is growing and multiplying, and the competition is obvious. So it's very expensive to do research when you need to get a satellite up. So I'm just wondering if there's a I'm thinking of this, Bob, as the nature of a new industry entirely.
You're asking if there's a yellow pages, is what you're asking. And no, we're not at that stage. So then, once again, there are sources of information. Most satellite companies, big and small, know what's going on, and they look, and then and they ask questions. There aren't that many rocket companies or launch pads to make a choice from, and so
not yet.
It's doable.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah, right?
Because there's money to be a middleman everywhere. PLD, what is that?
PLD is another rocket startup. This is in Spain. PLD has done a suborbital launch already. It says it learned about 70% of it needs to do its first launch. It is now beginning construction. It was not yet. In October, it's going to begin construction of its launch facilities in the spaceport at French Guiana. That is a spaceport that was controlled by Ariane Space for decades, but it's owned by France, and the control is now reverted back to the French Space Agency, CNES. And they are now controlling it. And as soon as they controlled it, they started to make deals with many other of these rocket startups to allow them to launch independently from French Guiana. And so PLD is starting construction. It's going to be the first to start construction, and it hopes to do its first orbital launch next year with its rocket.
And that launch pad, is it near the one that the ESA has held all these years, or a different part?
It's an interesting thing, John. The launch pad that France has leased out is the Diamant launch site. That's the original launch site that France used back in the 60s to launch its own rocket, the Diamant rocket. And then it decided, this is expensive, why don't we make a partnership with the rest of Europe and let them pay for this? And France was a partner in it, but a major partner. And so they abandoned that site that's been sitting unused for like 4 decades. And these companies are now leasing it out, and companies are building facilities there to launch from it.
And one more, an unnamed, but Bob tells me the name is Yankee Technology. What is that?
It's Yank Technologies. Yank Technologies is a Brooklyn startup. This is not a rocket company, though. This is a company that focuses on providing equipment for wireless communications. Now, we got wireless communications all over the place, radio and ham radio and, all that kind of stuff. But you got to develop the systems to work in space. It's got to be space-hardened, and it's got to be small, and it's got to be as light as possible. And so Yank Technologies got a very small $150,000 contract from NASA to develop two systems for two space-hardened systems for use in wireless communication on the moon. This would include converters and other equipment, learning how to do it small and space hardened. And so they're designing this stuff. I pointed out this article mainly because this kind of technology, even though wireless communications has existed for almost a century, to do it in space requires, you have to think about it. You got to do some hardening. You got to make it work for the radiation and the harsh environment. And so that's part of what's going on here. And the result, you got a lot of new companies coming along trying to do it, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.